great song today, 10,000 Joys. Have your Bibles this morning, Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. Look at those two passages primarily. I want to draw your attention this morning to the parents of Christ. Now, let me go back and kind of set a little bit of the scene for you. This week, we'll look at the parents of Christ. Next week, we'll look at the wise men, people that contributed to Christmas, the birth of Jesus. Then the next week, we'll look at Sunday morning, the 25th, we'll look at God the Father in Christmas. Then Sunday night, we'll look at Jesus in Christmas. Very special time, but I want you to take note this morning, the parents of Jesus Christ. I want you to see father and mother, and I want you to see what God looked for. Picture if you were God the Father and you're looking for someone to bear the Christ child. Wow, what an honor that would be. What a great, great challenge that would be of God to allow the perfect one of heaven. The Bible says, for God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. So how in the world would the holy Jesus be born in this world without having sin? Now, you know that in all of us, the sin of the fathers passed to the sins of the sons. So there are certain characteristics and personalities that all of us pass down. It's in our traits and our genes are passed down. So when two people have a child, it may be red hair is passed down. It may be no hair is passed down. It's maybe my son's praying not for that, but my grandfather had that, and my uncles had that. And so then there's there's personality things. There's great temper that's passed down sometimes. There's great quiet that's passed down sometimes. Sometimes there is great athleticism that's passed down. Sometimes there is personalities that are easy to work with, and sometimes there's personalities that are difficult to work with. But all of us, as we live in after we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. He begins to change and alter us, no matter who we are or what we're like or what our past, into the image of Christ if we allow that. And I want you to see that Joseph was one of those men on earth that God worked on his heart, and God looked at him and said, I can use Joseph. And Mary was one of those young ladies that I can use Mary. And so I want you to notice that what God looked for. And so you'll notice, if you would, in Matthew 1 and verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. It was in this way. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, before they're actually living together. Now, in the Jewish realm, this is the only place where it is in the Jewish society, culture. But they would have a one-year engagement where they were considered to be married, but they could not live together. So they lived separately. So you'll notice, if you would, in verse 18, very clearly, it says, verse 19, then Joseph, her husband. So they're considered to be married, but they're not living together, living separately, but they're considered to be a husband and wife. And this is to make sure of the purity of a marriage, that it begins pure, both are pure. And you'll notice, if you would, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused, she was engaged to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And her husband, Joseph, her husband. So now let's take a look at Joseph. He's engaged to a young lady that he loves with all of his heart, and she comes up expecting. And he knows it's not his son, and he has a couple choices. But let's look back first at his character. Let's look back first at his spirituality. Notice in verse 19, chapter 1, being a just man, a dikaios man, a righteous man. He's saved. He knows the Lord. The Lord is near and dear to him. He walks with Christ. He has a relationship personally with the Lord of heaven. And so he's walking with the Lord. And you'll notice that he marries a young lady, or is engaged to a young lady, that's just like that. Both are going the same exact direction. Both love the Lord and want to do what God wants. And God says, that's the couple I'll use to bring the Christ child into this world. Well, I know they're going to have some troubles, because It's going to look bad, but it's the only way I can get my son into this world. And so we have the virgin birth. And many people, if you say, what significance is of the virgin birth? Everything. It's everything. Now you'll notice, if you would, in verse 20. But while he thought on these things, so now this just man, this godly man says, this does not make any sense to the world, how that my sweetheart is expecting, and I just know her character, and I know her love for the Lord, and I just don't understand this. So you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 19, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. Do you know what that would mean? So here's Joseph. He's got a little bit of a broken heart, and the girl of his dreams is now not pure anymore, and he's just broken about it, and yet he's engaged to her, and if he makes it a public example, if he says, look what's happened, then does anybody know what would happen to Mary? She gets stoned. Take her out and stone her to death. But there's two things that are bothering him. One, he loves her. When you love somebody, you don't always want justice for them. You want to watch out for them. You want mercy for them. And he had the power of mercy. So he chose that. But in the meantime, he's got this struggle going on in his heart. Now what should I do? Should I put her away? Should I divorce her? We're not married, but should I divorce her? And this is the divorce Jesus is talking about in Scripture. He said, should I divorce her? She's obviously committed fornication. I'll put her aside. So notice, if you would, in verse number 19, not willing to make her a public example, was minded. That tells you he's thinking about it. He was considering putting her away privately, just being merciful, putting her away, letting her have the child, just letting it go. He was a godly man with a difficult decision that humanly did not make sense, and there was no explanation for the first 4,000 years and no explanation for the next 2,000 years of how this had happened. Because I know her character, I know her love for God, and I just don't understand this. And then, so he's asleep one night, verse 20, but while he thought on these things, so I'm thinking about what to do. I want to do what's right. And here's a picture of a godly man with an impossible decision, and God says, I got this, Joseph. I chose you because I know you and your heart. You'll do what's right. Let me ask you this. As parents, would God choose us to do certain things with our children to do what's right always? That's a great challenge to me when I read about Joseph. Not a lot is said about him. And he obviously died somewhere along the line, because on the cross, Jesus looked at John and said, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. And so John took his mother into his own home to take care of her in her last days. So there obviously had been a time when Joseph had died because she had no husband, or Jesus would have never done that. It's not according to cultural norms. But because Jesus was the eldest, it was his responsibility to see that his mother was provided for. So he recommended that his one of his greatest friends, the disciple whom Jesus loved, take care of his mother. And that was the way it happened. And so you'll notice now here, he's thinking about what to do. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Now, in these days, God appeared to Old Testament prophets, Samuel. He appeared to Elijah, other great prophets of Scripture, Jeremiah, Isaiah, but now that Scripture's fulfilled, there are no more visions and dreams, because we have a full copy of God's Word. And so you'll notice, if you would, in this passage, the Scripture's not completed yet, 1 Corinthians 13. You'll notice in verse 20, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. So even God himself considered them to be married, even though they weren't. They were still engaged in our society. In their society, they were married, but they're not living together. And so he says, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So God, the Holy Ghost, overshadowed Mary, and Jesus is now born of the Holy Spirit, and Mary is the mother of the Christ child. And this is the way God the Father got the perfect Son of God into a human race without sin. For God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He had no sin in his birth, no sin in his generations. His generation was perfect because it was fathered by the Holy Spirit. So that's the reason the virgin birth is of such critical interest to everyone that would read the scriptures. If he would have been fathered by Joseph, then he would have had sinful blood in his life. And Jesus could not have died for us. But because the blood is the payment for sin, that it had to be perfect. And this is God's method of allowing the Holy Spirit, allowing Jesus Christ to be born in this world among the human race, but still to be perfect. He never committed a sin. He never disobeyed his parents. He never dishonored them. He always did what was right. And so he is born perfect and he lived perfect. And you'll notice here that Joseph says in verse number 21, and shall be bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. By the way, did they call his name Jesus? Yes, we know they did. For he shall save his people from their sins. In verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Micah 5:2, notice if you would, in Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall be with child. So it's prophesied in the Old Testament. They should have known it. And it surprises me a little bit, but yet, humanly speaking, it doesn't surprise me at all. I don't think Joseph considered himself as any great Christian, but God did. And I don't think Mary considered herself as any great Christian, but God did. And God allowed this couple to get married and said, this couple, holy, righteous, just, thoughtful about every decision, that's the parents of my son Jesus. And notice, if you would, in verse number 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So Joseph does everything right. Do we heed the Holy Spirit as fathers and do things right? It's a challenge for all of us. But I look at Joseph here, one of the unsung heroes of the New Testament, of the Scriptures. Can you imagine the position that he's in when they finally do get married and starting having children of their own? Can you imagine explaining to their older children, their younger children? Do you understand? Here's Joseph, and he always does the right thing. What a great testimony for a father. And I want to challenge all of you in this room this morning that we would say, Lord, help me to be like Joseph. When there's something I don't understand, help me to take it to the Lord. Help me to be in prayer about it and thought about it and not do anything until I have the assurance of God in my heart. That would change a lot of families if we live like that. Now, if you have your Bible, notice, if you would, Luke. Take your Bible and turn to Luke, chapter number 1. And we're going to look at Mary very quickly. I want you to just notice. Now, I don't know how it's happened, but Mary somehow, because she's the mother of Christ, has become cultic, has become equal with Christ. Nothing like that is ever intended in Scripture. If you look through Scripture, you'll never find that in Scripture. But you'll notice, with you would, she was a godly lady. And notice in Luke chapter 1, in verse number 26, notice if you would, in the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. So here's an angel now comes to Mary of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So keep in mind, they had to be of the house of David because that was the promise of God, of the tribe of Judah. So she had to be of this tribe and of this house in order for the child, Christ's child, to be eligible to be as a fulfillment of Scripture. There were 61 prophecies about Jesus Christ coming that all had to be fulfilled, letter perfect. That's what Matthew chapter 1 said, as the Scripture said, and every one of those 61 came to pass. Between Isaiah, between Psalms, and Micah, And you'll see all those, if you were to go get a list of them and read Josh McDowell's book on evidence that man's a verdict, or you were to read Haley's Bible Handbook, you could read a lot of different books and you could find the listing of the prophecies about Jesus Christ coming. Every one of them came to pass. And it's impossible. Some of them were prophesied 1,000 years before he came. You can't pick your birthplace. You can't pick your birth family. You can't pick, all those things happen exactly. And if you go back and look, you would be absolutely convinced that this is the God of heaven once you go back and study it. And so notice there's no just blind trust here. There's evidences that we can see. Well, you'll notice, if you would, here's this virgin in verse number 27. And the virgin's name was Mary. And by the way, among Christianity, the number one name of all children for the last, I don't know how many years, has been Mary. So I guess out of honor and respect. But notice verse 28. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored." Wow. An angel comes to Mary and says, there's great respect for you in heaven. How many mothers and young ladies would not like to have that to be said about you? Now, I've got something for you to do, but you have great respect in heaven. You are highly favored in heaven. So you'll notice that God picks two young people that we know nothing about, but he picks them according to their spiritual walk with God and their love for Christ and their obedience to him, and they're very humble and gracious. Notice, if you would, in verse number 28, "The Lord is with thee." Now, how many of us would not like to have that be said about us, young ladies? You're highly respected, highly favored in heaven. And by the way, we can see that the Lord is with you. You know, if you could give me $1 million today, or I could walk with the Lord and have the presence of the Lord in my life, I want the presence of the Lord in my life. Now, I know the world would not choose that. And if you upped the ante to 10 million or 100 million or $1 billion, it would not matter. The presence of the Lord is of more value than all the money in the world, because God's presence leads and guides us into doing things that honor the Lord. And 1 second past death, we stand before the Lord, we'll hear those two words, "Well done, I'm proud of you. Well done, son." And without that, money can't buy those two words. So I want you to understand this morning that the parents of Jesus Christ were great Christians in the eyes of heaven. And God has something for people here to do. Every one of you in this room, you say, "Well, that's good for Joseph and Mary." No, every one of you've got something to do. And God does this exact same thing. I've got a task to accomplish. I've got a Sunday school class. I've got a spot in the choir. I've got a spot in the orchestra. I've got an usher that I need. I need someone in the nurseries. And so God looks around to find somebody, a just man, a lady that's highly favored in the eyes of heaven. And he said, "Now I'll use them." So I want you to understand this morning that this Christmas that came when Jesus was born was meticulously planned out by the God of heaven. And you'll notice with me, if you would, in verse number 28, "The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." So here's this young girl, teenage girl, she is just overwhelmed and amazed that an angel would come and tell her that she's special in the eyes of the Lord and that the Lord is with her. Now, she walks with the Lord regularly, and anybody that walks with the Lord knows it. We know when we're close to the Lord. How many of you have known when you were close to the Lord and when you weren't? Raise your hand. I see your hand up. Okay? So here's her, Mary. She's close to the Lord. She's walking with the Lord. And notice, if you would, in verse number 31, verse 30, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary." So she's terrified. In verse 29, she was troubled at his saying and couldn't figure it out. She's just like Joseph. She said, I don't understand. I'm a little bit confused. Why would God send an angel to talk to me? And in verse 30, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Wow. Do you begin to get the picture of a young couple that God has great value on? Every marriage ought to be just like this one. God looks at it and says, "I have great value on this couple." Because you've been married one day, or 50 years, God has something for you to do. And there's a qualification that God looks at and says, I need you because of this, your just heart, or because of your obedient spirit, or because your thoughtful spirit, or because of your favor with heaven, or because the Lord is with you. One of these things, I got something for you to do. Well, you'll notice if you would, in verse number 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shalt bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Well, so far so good. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. So far so good. And the Lord God shall give unto thee the throne of his father David. So far so good. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And in his kingdom there shall be no end. And so far so good. Then there's a problem. Verse 34. Then Mary said unto the angel, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? I'm not married. Joseph and I are not living together yet. And so you notice verse 35. And the angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, Jesus, who shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And here is one of the greatest decisions of life. Mary has to make the decision. Do I want the shame and embarrassment of expecting before I get married? What do I do here? It was no decision for her. Notice what happens. Verse 38, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She volunteered to bring the Christ child into this world. Wow. What a young lady. What character. Now let me ask you this. How many of us have volunteered and said, Lord, use me however you want. I know it's going to cause me difficulty and trouble, but Lord, use me. Lord, I know if I go to Egypt, it's going to cost me trouble. There'll be bombings. I know I go for Africa. There's Al-Qaeda. There's all these issues. And Lord, I know if I go here, if I go there, Lord, whatever you want me to do, Lord, if I take this job, I know there's going to be this. I know there's going to be that. But Lord, I'll trust you. Do you see the parents of Jesus Christ, that God had great value upon them because they were willing to do whatever? Here's Joseph saying, what do I do with my wife, my girlfriend? Here's Mary saying, what do I do with Joseph? What will he think? Lord, I'll trust you. And both of them said, Lord, we'll trust you. What a great couple. Is that us? When we face hard times, is that us? Now, I want you to notice very quickly, you take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, to Luke, Luke 2, 20, 41. Flip over just a page or so, Luke 2, 41. And this is where we'll close up here. These two parents, in verse number 41, now Jesus has been born. He's 12 years old. You'll notice, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, verse 42, they went up to Jerusalem at the custom of the feast. Now, the Passover was this. Now, listen very carefully. Let me present this for you. It's going to take some time because no one ever goes through Christmas as in the thought of God. But I want you to notice this. So the Passover, they go up to Jerusalem to offer a lamb in remembrance of the Passover. The Passover was the day when they were in Egypt, and God said, I'm going to slay every firstborn except those that had the blood on the doorpost. And so what they did was they went out and slew an animal, every Israelite that had faith that God's word was true. They took the blood and they took it in a little bush of hyssop, and they began to put it on the doorpost and on the lintel across. And when the death angel came across in Egypt, there was not one dead Israelite because they all trusted God that the blood would protect them. And so now, here this day, there is the blood that all of them that pictured that the blood is the saving grace for everyone who puts their faith and trust in the Lord. But that lamb's blood's not perfect. One of these days, there's going to come a perfect lamb. John the Baptist looked at Jesus Christ and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus came to die, not to live. He came to live a perfect life, to die for everybody in this room. And so that's the reason the payment for sin has already been made today. And Mary was a part of it. Joseph was a part of it. And now you'll see here, as they take him into this to Jerusalem, they're going to worship. And they do. And they said, we're going to put our faith that one of these days you're going to provide a lamb. They didn't know Jesus was the lamb. They knew he was the Son of God. Notice with me, if you would. Verse 44, I'm going to go quickly. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, so they go and they worship, and they get in their entourage, and their people travel together to stay away from marauding bands of thieves. And so they'd get in large caravans, and they would be safe. And so they got with the caravans, and they left, and they couldn't find Jesus. And so they looked around for him, and notice very carefully, if you would, in verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. By the way, did you notice the word child? He's 12 years old. He's considered to be a child, but he's 12 years old. So you notice, if you would, I think that's kind of offensive for some young people, but you know, you'd be 12, 14, 16 years old and considered to be a child until you're out under your parents' roof. Well, notice, if you would, in verse number 44, but they, supposing him to have been in the company. Now you know what? They made a mistake. All of us can make mistakes as parents. Anybody here ever supposed your child was with you? In other words, you know, from time to time we've had maybe a child left at church for a few minutes. A child will come up to me and say, have you seen my parents? No. And then I get this frantic phone call. Is Johnny there? Yeah, he's right beside me. Okay, I'll be right back. They don't say, we forgot him. I said, well, you know, we had to run an errand, and we're going to come back and get him real quick. Maybe he was playing, and we didn't want to disturb him or whatever. And so what happens is they come racing back, park running through. Oh, Johnny, boy, sure, I'm glad to see you. Well, you know what? That same event happens right here. They lost Jesus. Now, that happens to a lot of Christians every day if we're not careful. They supposing him, notice if you would, verse 44, and they supposing him to have been in the company when a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintance, and that therein where is a difference between spiritual people and not. They made a simple mistake, you know, the children, and you know, Susan and I, from time to time, you can have one child and leave your child because you can look at your wife and say, you're going to get Jeremy out, you're going to get Jeremy out. Okay, fine, and you neither one get Jeremy. That can happen, okay? But I don't know what it's like with Jeanette Scott. She's probably left her kids here 20 times. I don't know. You got 6 or 8 of them. I'm kidding with you, Jeanette. So you know, what happens is you get them and say, okay, let's count. Heads up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You get them all together and you count them all up. Well, Jesus was left back in Jerusalem. And he was worshiping in the temple. And he was talking to people in the temple. His heart was in spiritual things. And so they did their normal thing. They got everybody together. And did you see Jesus? Yeah, I saw him. Did you see him? I saw him. And so they got in their van, their vehicle, and they went on. Well, notice if you would, in verse number 44, and they sought him among kinsfolk and acquaintance. So they sought him from their family and their friends, a kinsfolk and acquaintance. They couldn't find him. At that point in time, many a Christian says, oh, well, we know that we lost Jesus. We know there's something between us and the Lord. We're not as close as where we were, like with Mary or like with Joseph. The Lord is with her. We know that. And everybody in this room, you know, whenever you're not as close to the Lord as you were, and there's something that's there. What do you do then? Do you see the parents of Jesus? They said, stop! Let's go back and get him. And they went back and they looked for 3 days until they found him. Boy, I wish we had some Christians like that. Not that you would go look for your children for 3 days, but that you would look back for Jesus until you found him. Now, I just remind you, these parents were godly parents, and they love the Lord. And maybe you're a godly parent, and you love the Lord, but we can all make mistakes. And a father can get away from the Lord a little bit. A mother can get away from the Lord a little bit. The question is, at that point in time, what do you do? Do you just suppose Jesus is with you and keep on going? Or do you pause and say, wait a minute? When I prayed this morning, I didn't have the presence of the Lord in my heart. When I read my Bible and when I, you know, when I was at work, I just noticed that things were different. I'm going to go back and get on my knees and say, Lord, I lost you someplace. I need you now. Or do you just suppose and say, hey, it'll be all right. How long does it take you to go back to where you lost him? That's really the question. That's the temperature gauge as to how good a Christian we are. How long does it take us to go back and get him? I noticed here, and also how we go back. Notice, if you would, verse 45, when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And notice verse 46, came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple. Now, let me ask you this question. If you lost your child in the mall, where would you look for them in the mall? What store? Let me see here. Ms. Macheski, what store would you look for Chris in the mall? Pardon me? Dick's Sporting Goods. Oh, really? Okay. Let me see here. If I find somebody else, Ms. Holston, if you lose, let me see here, Mariah in the store, in the mall, where would you go to look? Bath and Body Works. Hey, get that? Now, listen very carefully, because we all have, now, there's no church in the mall, so everybody has free grace, okay? But let me ask you this. If you left the city and you had a spiritual child and you said, where did I lose him? Where would you go? The first place. I go back to the house of God because I know Jesus' heart. He's an amazing kid. He always does the right thing. He's always talking about God. He's always talking about the Lord. He's always wanting to know more about him. And when we were talking, when we saw him in the temple asking questions, and we had to leave, come on, son. And he didn't, where would he be? 3 days, they probably checked in Bath and Body Works. They probably checked at Dick's. On the third day, they checked at the temple. And there he was. You know what you can do? You can always find Jesus when you lose him right here. You can even find him in the mall. It's just harder. I mean, maybe you're at the mall and you say, Lord, I have not done. You can get your heart right anywhere on earth. But if you really want to get your heart right, come back to the house of God. And like in a service this morning, if there's something between you and the Lord, there's a little bit of distance that's there, you don't find your prayer life like it once was, or your heart between you and the Lord, come to this altar and say, Lord, it's me. I'm coming back to you. I want you back. Lord, I want you. Would you do that this morning? I want you to know that the parents of Jesus Christ were great Christians. But you can see even some of the greatest Christians, when you get under pressure and stress, you might make not the greatest of decisions, but they just kept after it till they found Jesus. I wished all Christians, the second they supposed Jesus was with them and realized he was not, they would do exactly what this couple is, turn right around and go back to the place where you lost him until you find him. There have been some times in my life when I've struggled with some things. And I begin to look at them, and I say, Lord, please, I don't sense the same presence. And there are times when during the daytime, I come into this room, and I get on this altar, and I pray, and I say, Lord, I got to talk to you. Lord, it's me. Now, that's a great privilege that I have. But I've seen other people here in this room come on a morning and drop by the church and just kneel down and pray. You can do it at your home. But there's got to be a place where you come to Jesus Christ, where you search him out. You seek for the Christ child. You're like Joseph and Mary. You're not willing to go another step until you have Jesus with you. Today, is Jesus with you? He was with Mary. He was with Joseph. I remind myself, I was preaching in a youth group in Chicago years ago, 40-something years ago, and there was a young man came up to me. And he said, you know, at the end of the service, he had been wayward and he hadn't gotten his heart right. He had gone back and said, Lord, forgive me. I want to do what's right. And he looked at me at the end of the invitation. And afterwards, he came up to me. He said, hey, Pastor Dave, I just want to tell you one thing. He said, it's great to be able to be in church and know everything is right. It's priceless. You know, today, that's what I want for you. I want you to be like the parents of Jesus. I want you to be godly, respected by heaven, whether you're single or married, because God has something for you to do. But you've got to have the Lord with you in order for God to use you. You've got to be a just man in order for God to use you. But once you begin to walk with the Lord, there are times whenever you might suppose that Jesus is with you and look around and find out, oh my goodness, I got ahead of the Lord. Anybody here ever got ahead of the Lord in your life? Well, wait a minute, stop. I'm going to go back and ask him to let me walk with him again. And thereby, restore your walk with the Lord. Today, do you have the Lord in your heart? Have you trusted him as Savior? That's why he died. Jesus Christ, God the Father, went through all this elaborate preparation that his own son could die for everybody in this room. So you could have one choice. Yes, I want Jesus as my Savior. No, I'll pay for it myself, my sin, in hell. It's the greatest choice on the face of the earth. But it's a choice that's free for everybody in this room. Because of Jesus, because of Joseph, because of Mary. Today, what's your choice? Will you trust Christ? Will you return to Christ if you left him someplace? Supposing he was with them, they turned around and went back. I encourage you to go back to where you lost him and get Jesus close to your heart where you can walk together again. Let's bow our heads for the prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Are you walking with the Lord this morning? First installment of the Christmas story, you'll notice, comes with the parents of Jesus Christ. Could I encourage you this morning? Pastor, I'm nowhere near like Joseph. My heart's not like Joseph. Why don't you come and say, Lord, I want to be like Joseph. Maybe you're here today and you've been saved and you're a wife, but you said, Pastor, my heart's nowhere near like Mary. Where I'm favored with God and I sense it, or where I'm, the Lord is with me. I know he's in and out, and there's just some things in my life. I want to encourage you to step out of the altar, out of your seat this morning, and come to this altar and just talk with the Lord this morning. Could I plead with you? Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I need to be baptized. We have a couple being baptized this morning. I encourage you to come. A first step of obedience. Come take care of it. And then maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, we need to be a part of a good church. We need to be part of temple. Could I encourage you to come this morning and join with us? We'd love to have you. If you feel like the Lord's leading you, you come this morning. We'd love to partner with you and serve the Lord together, better together than apart. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. If you need to do anything the Holy Spirit's touching your heart, you do that this morning. Leave this morning with Jesus Christ. Both in your heart and beside your heart, beside your walk, that things are right between you and the Lord. The Lord is with you. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts this morning as only you can. In your precious name we pray. Amen.